Moving in now to the third part, which is from the letter to the Hebrews. Actually, it's a section of that letter. First little definition, 1 and 2, and then they skip, because I want to talk about Abraham, to verse 8. It follows, you see, because there's no recollection, there's no awareness, there's no attention paid to anything but what's going on immediately, unless there's faith. And so now we're going to have this definition of faith, and everybody gives their own. The New American Bible says, for instance, and they have a nice footnote on it, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So the two words they use are realization and being sure. How does they translate that? Evidence of things. My own translation is faith. Now, I make these, you know, because I'm not trying to make a... it's an interpretive translation. It's not word for word. It is word for word, but faith is the means of possessing things hoped for. And hypostasis can be like a... here's my my coat check. You know, I left my coat here at the coat check. Now I'm leaving again, so here's my thing. This will give me back my coat. Well, faith is like that. Very bad example, maybe. Faith is the means of possessing things hoped for. So I possess it. You see? Elpizomenon, the things that I hope for. And this is true. We possess them. But not according to the mode of what they really are. Later on, already in chapter 10, rather, it's talking about how faith, you see, these men of faith in chapter 10 and 11, you see, it's the way we live in reality without quite being there yet. But you know, for instance, in this very letter, when it's talking about Moses in chapter 11, said he went on as though seeing the invisible. He knew what was going on. He knew what God wanted, all by faith. He had the apostasis, which is the word in the text, other meanings, but this is one, the means of possessing things hoped for. I already have them, but not in the mode of existence which is proper to them, but in another mode of existence. But when the Lord takes me to heaven, please God, then I possess what I've been promised, but in the mode which is proper to the reality, which is the most blessed Trinity, the incarnate Word, Mary, all the saints, my friends and parents, things I hope for, to know God. You see? Well, faith is the means of possessing it, or as the translation goes here, is the realization of what is hoped for. Realization, making it real. I like mine a little better, but the means of possessing things hoped for. That's what an hypostasis is, among other things. And the means of being sure of realities not seen. Sure. God once told Catherine of Siena, if you saw one soul in the state of grace, you'd fall down and worship them. You'd think it was me. That's how glorious a believer is who's living by the grace of God. And we're so dumb, we treat one another terribly. We don't treat one another like that. So, by it, the ancients were attested to. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. So, yes, it's the same. By faith, we understand that the worlds were arranged by the Word of God so that not from what appears to the visible come to be. You see? And that's the how the text goes on. Now, it isn't, you know, that you, philosophically, you can prove this world doesn't explain itself. Regardless of all these delightful evolutionary people and the atheists who are, you know, they have to have a, they don't understand what a proof is. Proof for them has got to be material, got to be physics. And they don't understand, you know, that understand anything that exists, there has to be a reason for it, you see? So we skip down now in our text from where we've been down to this other section of our text. We do 1 and 2, and then we go down to talk about Abraham. Why? Because of the heroicity of his faith. So the text says, by faith, Abraham, called, obeyed. You see? Pisti, by faith, kalumenos Abraham, ipiko sin exaltin. You see? By faith, Abraham, called, obeyed to go out to a place he was going to receive an inheritance. Now, suppose God appeared to you tomorrow and said, you know, you've heard about this beautiful island in the Pacific or someplace. Weather's always good. There's good food supply. I promise it to you. It's yours. Go take it. Would you go? Get on the boat, go over there and look over your island? Probably not. But that's what Abraham did, see? He obeyed the command to go out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now this is, you see, faith, when it's really faith, is this dependence on God. The greatest example is Mary herself. Imagine being 16, 15, an angel come and say, you are going to be the mother of the Son of the Most High. Must have been something I ate. I mean, how can this be? She believed. You see? So that's what we have here. So he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, you remember the command? Abraham, hineni, behold me. Go out from your land, from your clan, from your father's house, to a place I will show you. I want you to be a nomad of faith. You just follow me. That's all. And so he went, it says, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to a land, went to the land of promise, as though it belonged to another. He made his home in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promises. He looked forward to the city having foundations whose craftsman and builder is God. He believed God. So there he was, a stranger in this other land, and he's saying, this is mine. God gave it to me. This is mine. In other words, faith, very often, you see, there's dogmatic faith. I believe that God is one God in three persons. I believe that Mary is the mother of God and that she's in heaven right now, body and soul. I believe that we will all be judged at the end of our life and with great mercy. But we will be judged. I believe all these things. I know them because faith is a way of knowing. Let me try to give an example. Suppose my father went and spent a year, I don't know why he'd do that and leave us, but suppose he did, in the Bahamas, someplace. When he comes back, he tells us all about the Bahamas. I've never been there. But if he is reliable, I'll believe what he tells me about the Bahamas. Well, if God says, go there to a land I'm going to show you, you believe him. Now, this is the second, you know, the letter to the Hebrews picks this one up. There's another one, which the book of Genesis picks up, and Paul bases his life, you know, his treatise of faith on it. When Abraham is old and Sarah is old, and God comes and says, you know, fear not, Abraham, Abraham, you're, you know, the promise is going to be fulfilled. And he said, oh, yes, of course, my foreman can take over. That was the law of the time. He had no children of his own. The Lord said, not that one, one from your own body, come with me. So he takes him outside, and in the desert air, you see millions of stars. And he said, look up there at those stars, now count them if you can. Thus shall be your posterity. That's what I'm promising. And Abraham believed God. He put his weight on God, is what it means, Hemian, you see? And that was credited to him as the right way to relate to God. He believed God. He didn't have any proof but God's word. I mean, there were other people living in the land. He just couldn't walk in and say, I'm taking over, folks. But, you see, by faith, even Sarah herself, barren, received power for the establishing of seed and beyond the proper age, for she considered faithful the one who promised. Therefore, from one there were born, and she and he were as good as dead, as many as the stars of heaven in number, like the sand of the shore. Why? Because they believed God. They believed God. There's dogmatic faith. I believe that you are one God and three divine persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I've said this before, but you know, when you're driving, sometimes just make acts of faith, acts of hope. Oh my God, I believe that you are great and holy and the creator of the world, that you are one God and three divine persons. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, came among us, divine as he is. He taught us, he healed us, he spoke to us. He died in an act of love and restored us so that now we can look forward to eternal life. I look forward to that, and then hope and love, you know. But just make these acts of love. What did I say? That old Benedictine used to call forced acts of the will. And so so there's Abraham in a foreign land, and that's, you know, different than over here. You know, there was a family from Bethlehem. I mean, from Tekoa. Just at the foot of the mountains, on the other side of which is the Dead Sea. But from Bethlehem, you can look across the plain and see that little town. Well, a family moved from that town to Bethlehem a century ago, and they're still called the strangers. We move into an apartment, and 6 months later move out, and somebody else moves in. That's not the way things go, you see. And so, you see, by faith he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. That's the key. That's the key. There's dogmatic faith, but there's also trust. If your uncle called up and said, look, I'm going to leave you, you know, I'm going to transfer over to your account about, you know, $2 million. If you believe your uncle, you're going to start spending it already. Oh, I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But that means you believe him, even though you don't have it all yet. And that's what this faith is all about. And he reasoned that God was able to raise up even from the dead, whence he obtained him as a parable, as the way to relate to God. Amen.